Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today's Bible reading is coming from Matthew 1, chapters 18 to 25, and John chapters 1 to 2 and 14. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. It's great to see you here this Christmas morning. I know some of you have probably been pulled away from presents. Hopefully presents opened, but maybe there's presents unopened. I'm sure for all of you, throughout today, you'll have different connections with people and look forward to presents. When I was young, I used to look forward to presents months in advance, and I so used to look forward to presents that I figured out where Mum actually stored the presents. And so kids, close your ears, because the two places are under the bed or in the wardrobe. And so that's where my mum used to store the presents, and I used to try and sneak in there. There's five kids in my family, so I had to figure out which ones were for me. Most of the time I got it right. Sometimes I was disappointed because one of the other kids got the presents. But I used to look forward with hope to what might be contained in these presents. One year I was feeling so earnestly that the present under the tree that I ripped the paper and had to rewrap the present. But don't we see that in the hearts of children, this hope, hope-filled eyes, hope-filled hearts, hope-filled smiles as they go to rip open a little bit of paper, expectantly looking for something that's inside. As an adult, I look at presents and go, well, it's not big enough to be what I wanted, or they've probably not spent enough money to be what I wanted, or there's actually nothing that I want. I was walking through Doncaster a month ago doing my present shopping. Actually, no, I wasn't doing my present shopping. I had a weekend off, and I went to church at Shopping Town, and I met all the people that don't go to church because they're at Shopping Town shopping for presents. But I shopped my presents at the same time when I was meant to be going to church, because turns out church had been cancelled on that weekend and no one had put it on their website. So looking, and I thought, actually, in these shops is not the hope that I need. In this place, I'm not going to find the hope that someone else needs. But we look at kids and we see these eyes expectant with hope as to what they may discover. And we see that in that, the kind of hope that we are meant to have, that's meant to characterize faith. It's a hope for something better. It's a hope for something beyond our circumstances, expectantly wanting something that we do not yet have. Our Christmas is that time of longing and remembering, that time of longing for something better and remembering that something better came in Jesus. But as adults, it's so easy when we look at Christmas to kind of have all the pressures, all the presents, all the events kind of heaped up in front of us, covering over what is the meaning and what should undergird hope for our lives. As a parent, we often live Christmas vicariously through children as we see children celebrating and singing, but the real present for us is Emmanuel, that is God with us. That the God who created the world has entered into our world and is with us. As adults, our lives kind of get clouded over by the seemingly incompatibility between what we see and what we don't see. What we hope for, not yet realized. At Christmas, it's a time for us to re-excavate hope from underneath all the events, all the build-up, all the weight of the year. I wonder what your year has looked like. What are the paths that you've walked along? What are the mountains that you've walked up? What are the valleys that you've walked through? What has your year looked like? Has it been a year filled with answered hope? Or has it been a year where you felt like you've walked through the valley? Has it been a year where you've hit mountaintops and you're celebrated? Or has it been a year where you feel like you're still climbing and it's hard? What's your year been like? You see, if our God is a God with us, then He's a God that wants to meet us in the valleys, on the straight roads, on the mountains. But what do we do when we don't see Him right in front of us? When, like children, we've maybe not seen Him right there, and so we've lost hope that what we might discover as we come towards Him is going to be something that will meet our desire. What do we do? I think one of the key things we do is remember. There's a song by a guy called Torren Wells, and there's this line in it. "You're the God of the hills and the valleys, and I'm not alone." I want to read to you a little bit more of the song. He says, "I've walked among the shadows. You've wiped my tears away. I've felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days. I've prayed the prayers to heaven from my lowest place. I've held the blessings, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains I will bow down to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, no, I'm not alone. You're the God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys. God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone. I've watched my dreams get broken. In you I hope again. No matter what I know I'm safe inside your hand. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all you will remain over it all. You're the God of the hills and valleys. I am not alone. God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone." Isn't that a message that we need to hear, that in the high points and the low points of life, that God is the same? Now, for the people living in Israel, waiting expectantly for a Savior, it seemed to them that God was distant. That God had lived in a temple, that God was worshipped from a distance. But God came near in Jesus Christ to remember, to cause us to remember, to cause us to know that He's actually never been distant, but also to bring us near to Him. In this passage that was read out this morning, we see that Mary will give birth to a son, and she's to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. See, what gets in the way of our relationship with God is the walls that are created by the hurt that we do towards Him, the hurt that we do towards each other. And what Jesus came to do is to bring down those walls. What Jesus came to do is to take this pile of presents and push them away, to uncover the truth of hope and what it is really about at Christmas, to excavate for us the reality of God with us, to peel back the layer of presence so that we can discover God with us. Back then, they what they did was they made idols with their hands. So they would get a piece of wood and they would carve it out and they would put this little statue of wood in their home and they would say, "This is my idol. I will offer it to good things in the hope that I'm going to get rain, that I'm going to get a good harvest, that I'm going to have what I need for the year to come." And so they would offer to these wooden idols hope. And Isaiah has this picture of how the idols fall over and they cannot get themselves back up. In life, what we do is we offer ourselves to things in the hope that investing in that will actually return to us what we hope for. And so for us, it can be, well, we put money in a bank. But say the bank is robbed and all the money goes away, the money can't sort itself out. We put our hope in a holiday, but the holiday in itself can't do anything for us. We put our hope in new presents, but the present sits under the tree waiting because it can't unwrap itself. And it is today, in some ways, that we've found different things to kind of sit there as tokens that offer us hope of the future. And God says, these are things that I've created, but who I want you to come to, who I want you to approach, who will give you hope, is my son. And so who I want you to unwrap this Christmas is my son, Jesus. Now, if we set up the things in our lives that we think are going to bring us hope, what we do is we set a target, and then we set another target, and we set another target. And when you set targets, you're pointing a trajectory in a certain direction. And when you look at your life, often that trajectory is a straight line from where you've been to where you think that you should go. And for some of us, we can influence our trajectory a little bit more. Next year, I can do a few more things that fill my heart with joy. I can get rid of those things that don't bring me joy. But God enters into our circumstances to change the trajectory of our life. That is, God with us enables us to walk differently, to live differently, to have a different path. When we look at the story of Scripture and what Jesus meant to the disciples that encountered him, fishermen became messengers. Disciples became messengers. Jesus was the leader of a group of people that turned the world upside down. At Christmas, we remember that Jesus is the one that is able to change the trajectory of our lives. He's offering us the opportunity of a trajectory shift as we put our hope in him. See, when we put our hope in earthly things, our hope can only be for what things are on earth. But when we put our hope in Jesus, heavenly things are ours in him. And the one who calls us to pray on earth as it is in heaven is able to bring heaven down into our circumstances. I don't know if you've thought much as to what your year ahead is going to look like, but what would it look like if you invited Jesus in that little bit more? What would it look like if you set your hope and your heart on him a little bit more? What would it look like if you allowed him to shift your trajectory from where you think it should go and allow him to influence to where he thinks it should go? What could he do through you? How could he turn the world upside down through you? How could he change the world through you? How could he fill your heart with hope and joy? Christmas is a time of celebration because Jesus came into the world to save the world, to redeem the world, and to walk with us as we go through the hills and the valleys, the circumstances of our lives. Where are you? On a mountaintop. Jesus wants to lead you higher. Where are you? In a valley. Jesus is going to carry you up the mountain. Are you on a straight path and it just feels flat and boring? Jesus wants to take you to higher places. Let us be a people in times of celebration that remember that God is with us. This Christmas, take a moment. Put your phone down. Take some space away from the gifts that you've received. Just take a moment with God. Open up a gospel like Luke's gospel. Have a read and then just have a sit and meditate on the freshness of this truth. The God who created the world is with us, wants to celebrate with us, wants to redeem us in times of pain, in times of joy, in every circumstances. Our God is the one who is with us. Let me pray. Our Lord God, thank you that you're with us in hills, on hills, in valleys, that you make our paths straight, that you raise us up to where you are. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is not far off, that you're a God who is near, that you see and know our innermost thoughts, our struggles, our fears, our hopes, our joys, and our pain. And thank you that, Lord, in all of them, Lord, you want to breathe your breath of life into them. Lord, we pray this Christmas that you would help us to discover you fresh. As we set aside time, Lord, from the busyness to look to you and find hope in you, as we open the pages of your scripture looking for hope, open our eyes and open our hearts. Open our lives afresh to find our hope in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.